PsychMinded Media presents Best Psychology in Film with your host, Dr. Catherine Marshall Woods. Best Psychology in Film is also a book available online where books are sold. Today's featured guest, Craig T. Williams. Hello, and welcome to Best Psychology in Film. I'm your host, Dr. Catherine Marshall Woods. Intriguing cinematic works seen on the big screen begin with extraordinary ideas and talented screenwriters to create stories that make us laugh, cry, and depict the complexity of human conditions. Today, it is my pleasure to introduce Mr. Craig Williams, co-founder of Redwall Productions, to discuss writing and upcoming projects. Welcome to the show, Craig.
Hello, Kat. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me here.
Are you kidding? It is my pleasure. I love speaking with you about films and about writing and everything that you're doing. You're always doing something really exciting. So what are you doing right now? Let's start there.
Oh, what am I doing right now? A couple of things. I have to compartmentalize. Okay, so as a writer, I have a feature film that I wrote called Hanging by a Thread that is executive produced by Viola Davis. And we were gearing up to get that out to people, to financiers and stuff. And when the world died, everything just stopped. But now that we're getting out of the whole COVID thing, or at least, people are finding a way to work again. We're getting some interest, and I have an agent. During the pandemic, I signed with an agency, and my wife Roz. Thank you, my wife Roz also signed with an agency as a director. So she read it, a Black woman, which is great. Agent, there are very few of them, and she's sending it out and getting great response. So that's building. As a writer, I've also written a couple of pilots. One of them is called How You Like Me Now, and it's about the real-life rivalry between hip-hop legend Kool Moe Dee and an upstart named LL Cool J, and it is about their hip-hop rivalry, the first battle that ever happened. Before Biggie versus Tupac, before East Coast versus West Coast, there was Kool Moe Dee versus LL Cool J. So I wrote a TV show based on that and based on Kool Moe Dee's life. And that one has won half a dozen film festival competitions. It's in one right now called Page International, which I'm very excited. I'm in the finals. And next week I hear if I'm the grand prize winner or where I place. So out of over 8,000 scripts, I'm in the top 10. So that's been exciting. I wrote a new half-hour pilot during the pandemic called Call Me Daddy, based on some of my experience growing up with a stepfather and then also having a son. And I think log lines are important. Tired of Waiting for Mrs. Wright, a 40-year-old emotionally stunted man decides to have a baby on his own to be the father he never had. So it's all about daddy issues, because, that's something that permeates my work, is like the whole parental-child relationship. So that's writing. I coach a lot of writers, so I'm working with a lot of writers that I coach with. I lead three writing groups where I mentor writers, and I'm also taking class because I also believe that education never stops. And so I also take class while I'm writing, and I'm teaching another class. God, I'm exhausted. I'm teaching. I start teaching a class next week at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, where I will be teaching actors who are graduating how to create their own characters. So it's the idea that you don't want to wait around for someone to call for that audition that may happen once a month or once a year, that you want to put yourself in the position to create your own work, so that you're just not sitting around. And that's really what, moves me every day, that helps me be of service to people. I taught two classes this summer to kids, which was amazing, at New York Film Academy and some other place that I can't remember that I taught. So I believe in, oh, I'm a mentor with Real Works too, Brooklyn. I have some mentees, some mentee filmmakers. So when you ask me, that's what I'm doing. It's good to remember that I'm busy, because you can kind of think that, especially in this day and time, that you're sitting on your thumbs and not doing anything. But I guess for me, this pandemic has been a way to continue work, be of service, and continue to find my voice.
You do sound exhausted.
I am. I took two naps today, and now I'm remembering why.
You have a lot going on. Yeah. And one thing that I know about your writing, because I've read a lot of your scripts, is that they are hilariously funny. But the topics are really sensitive topics, individuals would say. They are topics of, let's say, being disappointed, like wanting to be finding someone and not being able to then find someone to be able to create a family with. Where do you come up with your inspiration?
Oh, everyday living. It's, you know, ideas can be difficult. Ideas are difficult for me. I know people who, you know, can sit here and give you 50 ideas. Like just off the, okay, how about a story about this? How about a story about that? The way that I approach writing is I have one idea and I can come up with 50 different ways to do that one idea. Just the way my mind works, and then wanting to live in the world and discover the characters. And for me, it's always a question of what if, what if, what if, what if. You know, I meet writers, you know, and I'll present a story and they'll say, yeah, but you know, people don't really do that. It's like, yeah, that's not the way I see things. You know, what if that person did that? What if that that woman killed her child as an opening? What if this man developed, I don't know, spaceships or went to Mars? What if, what if, what if? And then from there, we can make it possible. You have to really then do the work of making it plausible. But, you know, I don't think it's story-wise for writers or creative people to say, oh, we don't do that. Oh, Black women don't talk like that. Or this doesn't happen like that. Because they could, because we have we're not a monolith. We're a diverse group of people. When people say we need diversity, it's like, you can still tell a Black story with only Black people and still have it be diverse. You don't need, you know, to open it up to other things for it to be diverse. So I believe in the diversity of us and all that we have to offer and all that we have to say. And we can be anywhere at any time, because if we don't see ourselves in that space, nobody else will.
It almost sounds like you feel like there's a responsibility then to ensure that the characters are broad enough to be able to then kind of break some of the barriers of what people think a person would behave like or act like.
Yeah, you know, and I actually think, you know, it's the specificity of it, because specificity is universal. If I'm having an experience, you know, with my 16-year-old son, which I talk about a lot, and what he's going through and what he's putting us through these days, I know that that resonates across the board, because I have friends with 15 and 16-year-old boys, girls, white, Black, Asian, and they're all having the same experience. So when I'm putting that character in a script, I know people across the board are going to understand what that is, because they either, it was them, or they know somebody that's going through that experience. So it's the specificity. It's the little moments. It's the little things we say to each other that have broader appeal. And, you know, traditionally, African-Americans and people of color have not been thought of as people who have specific stories that are universal. We're always, well, you know, but is anybody going to get that? Is anybody going to? It's like, yeah, they'll get it because they're human and I'm human. So why wouldn't they get it? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I challenge myself and I challenge other Black writers and I challenge anybody. It's like, but then it becomes my job as the creative to help the person see the universality and the specificity of my story.
Well, I can say within your writing, you know, I read Call Me Daddy, and again, also just hilarious. It had me in stitches so many times within I mean, just the first seven pages, I'm like drawing little smiley faces all over it. And, you know, these characters are very specific with their needs, their desires, very specific with their conflicts that they're experiencing, mm-hmm. very specific with the feelings that they're having, and not just one, but multiple, generally how you write, that they could be experiencing angst, but at the same time, feeling intimate at that moment, that you mix it up a lot about how many feelings they can have in this one experience. Yeah. You know, when I'm consulting with screenwriters, that's sort of what I'm looking for too, is where's the conflict for this person? How many feelings, and can we see that? Is where they are at that time, specifically the location, does it fit with where they may want to be in that moment in their life? And how is that adding to their character and adding to their experience? Mm-hmm. And one thing when I was thinking about Call Me Daddy, there's an aspect of him being at school and he is being confronted because he's a very good teacher and he's won all these awards year after year, and there's a teacher that's angry about it and he wants an opportunity to win this award,
right.
And how he handles the situation, I won't say how, but how he handled the situation, it was so clear as day that I could see this happening. There was no apology when it sounded like when you wrote this. He was a real person. And I'm wondering, how do you capture that so nicely, literally in a couple lines in a sentence?
Oh, thank you for that. I really appreciate it. You know what that is? It's called craft. It's work. It's the work that we have to do. And I meet so many young writers, but old writers too, who believe that you just wake up one morning and you write it and then, okay, can I sell it to Netflix now? It's like, no. No, you know, what you read is five drafts and a whole summer of work. It's writing it. And then I believe part of the process is sharing it. So I bring it to a writer's group. I bring it to some very smart people. And I say, read this. How does that work? How does that feel? What rings true? What doesn't? And they're like, I got that. I got that. And then I have to filter it through my own experience and what I want to tell. And it's just, you write it again. And then you write it again, and then you write it again. And hopefully each time the situations are getting more specific, the characters are, the relationships are really popping out, that you are giving your characters specific voices so that you know one character from another immediately, and that there's stakes and conflict, which gives you humor and depth. So it's work. It is the work that we're supposed to be doing. That it doesn't just come out whole the first time you sit down. It's just not going to. And I think that's a really hard lesson for people to learn. It's like, this thing is hard to do. But you know, I've been doing it for 20 years and I'm taking life and I'm taking craft, which is why I still take classes, because I need to be in that environment to make sure that my craft is still improving.
I take it you would consider yourself a patient person then, after the five drafts in an entire summer.
Although you do have those moments like, really, you think I'm going to write another one of these things again? And I say, listen, if I write it, you're reading it because you told me it wasn't good enough. So but it's about, you know, finding smart people and then being of service to them too. So when, you know, I read a script today, you know, one that I've read three times already, but and I have another one in my inbox, one that I've read five times, but you know, I'm gonna do that for them because they do that for me. And it's an important part of the creative process, which is sharing. You know, lots of, especially Black writers, they get worried about their work being stolen or being copied or being, and it's like, you know what? There are no new ideas. It's just your version of that idea. My version of this idea, Call Me Daddy, can be seen in Blackish. It can be seen in Sanford and Son. It can be seen in all different kinds of medium, but this comes through my experience. As a husband, as a father, as a, you know, as a creative person. And the rewrite is so that I actually can write all the stuff out that, so that I'm not derivative, so that I'm not, unconsciously stealing or borrowing or taking from somebody else's work. And then somebody can say, you know, I saw that in this episode of that, or I saw that in this movie. It's like, yeah, you know what? You're right. So then I still have that idea, but now I have to make sure that it's filtered through my own experience.
So this idea of building a community that you can share with, how important would you say that is for individuals? Because I think you're right. I mean, even when individuals are working with me to consult, it's a whole production many times about the ethics behind it. Will I take it and who will I talk to about it? All of the things that I think is important to talk to the individual about so that we're both on the same page and they feel comfortable with working with me. And I also then ask, how many other individuals have read this? And many times it is very closely held to the vest that they're afraid to actually get this community together. Yeah. How important do you think it would be for people to have this?
It's so vital. It's so vital to the creative process to share. You know, it's like putting on a play. You know, you can write something and then write this play. But if you don't give it to actors, if you don't put it up on a stage, if you don't let an audience come see it, is it really the thing that you want it to be? It is the shared experience of art. You know, whether you're writing something or painting something or music, you know, you can sit in the studio, you know, imagine if Stevie Wonder never released Songs in the Key of Life. We just, you know, if Stevie Wonder had not released a happy birthday song, what would Black people do every year at birthday parties? So we have to share, you know, and then you have to find your right community. And it is trial and error. I've been in many writing groups and I've come up with a lot of hostility. I've come up against jealousy. I've come up against, you know, a lot of envy and who does he think he is? And I heard this, and this is the thing I think that writers fear most. It's someone who doesn't get their work, who doesn't understand it, and who's going to say to them that that's not good. Because the process of feedback, now you're a psychologist, so you might understand this. I was listening to this podcast, and there's a very smart writer, screenwriter, who says getting feedback hits the part of your brain that says somebody's trying to kill you. So, you know, somebody critiques your work, it hits that part of your brain where, you know, when you touch a stove and you you move your hand before you actually feel it, that's what your body's doing when somebody critiques your work. So the job then becomes for you as a writer to say, okay, I'm okay. I'm safe in this space. This person is not trying to kill me. This person only wants the best for me. So you have to find those people. And that's a trial and error. That's getting into a writing group, and there may be 8 people in that writing group, and then maybe only one person in that group that you say, oh, that person gets what I like, and I get what that person likes. So it becomes your job to then go seek out that person and say, hey, I'll read your pages if you read my pages. And that's kind of what I've done over the years. I've collected people here and there. And so now I have a really tight, smart, fun group of writers that I can go to and who I'm a resource for, that I'm bringing all this knowledge and hard-won writing stuff. Because, you know, it's also expensive to be a writer.
Yeah, you need a lot of support.
You do.
And taking classes and continuing your education.
Yeah.
You know, I want to go back, if we might, to the idea that, you know, getting feedback and how people respond to that. Mm. And you're right. It is it's a process of feeling very defensive.
Yes.
And initially there is this innate idea of they don't get me, or they're feeling like I'm not good enough, way to put yourself down, or as you even indicated, like an annihilation that happens.
Yes, right, yes.
And it does take, I think, a safe place and knowing that the people are safe and wanting the best for you to really be able to do what you mentioned, which is reframing. To be able to then say, let me reframe the situation. This person wants the best for me. Let me reframe this as that they're trying to make me better. Let me reframe this that they're actually trying to push me. Let me reframe that if I were to take their feedback, I can actually be more successful, or this could actually be something that's great. It may not be great now because it's the first draft, and that's okay, because many writers go through, as you were mentioning, five drafts, an entire summer or more than that.
Yes.
And so if one is patient and know that this first draft isn't the last straw, that it has to be great immediately, then hopefully they can have this, the factors and the coping strategies to then be able to take the feedback as actually an action of love and concern and growth.
Yes. And I think, you know, one of the ways that I approach it, one of the things that I always say to people is like, do you know the Antoine Fisher story? Like, yeah, I've heard of the movie. Great movie, right? Say, okay, Antoine Fisher wrote a story about himself, Antoine Fisher. And he wrote 40 drafts of his own story before he got it to Denzel Washington, who ended up directing it. And then after that, there might have been another 20 drafts of the Antoine Fisher telling the Antoine Fisher story. So I'm like, what do you think you're going to do? So the way that I approach feedback is, it's always important to make the person feel comfortable. And so I start with, here's what I liked. Here's what's working. Here's what you do well. Here's where I engaged, which is an important point to tell. Okay, at this point, I may have engaged on page 5 or page 10, and then be specific about what it is, what spoke to you, and be honest, right? I like this. I like this. I like the characters. I like the situation. And wherever it is in the script, and if it's a first draft and it's a lot more difficult to do that, there's still something that you as the reader responded to. So share that with the writer first. We want to tend with, well, I don't know what you're doing here because I don't know what you wrote on page 1, but I didn't get that at all. Why would she start that? Why would they do this? And why would they, it's like, back up off me with that. So so share with the writer in your writer's groups, which you can do. Find the right people that you want to work with, people you like, people that you would go hang out with, go to a bar with, go to dinner with, something, because those are the people that you're going to feel safe around. And say, all right, I wrote this thing. Tell me what you liked first, and then tell me where you were confused. Tell me what you like, but don't tell me what you want to see. Because you have to remember the story that I'm telling, not the story you want to tell, but the story that I'm telling. And I think if you start there with those kinds of conversations, then you're going to have somebody who's going to be open to your criticism and open to your critique and open to your real thoughts about their work.
When you say starting off with things that are positive, mm-hmm. and you know, everyone wants to hear a way that someone connected to you first.
Yes,
before there are now areas of places that need growth. And we want to know what our strengths are. And so I cannot imagine that someone saying, I don't know what you were doing here, or what was that about?
Yeah.
If we're expecting that person to shut down, then that's exactly what we're going to be doing during that time. But this idea of really being a part of their process and a partner with them. Partners walk with you through it. And if you don't want to walk through the criticism in that way with someone else, and being able to be empathetic about, if someone did this to me, how would I feel about my work and sometimes even my self-worth? Because some people equate both of those as the same, unfortunately.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, because I understand this process, I also, when I'm talking with someone, I was like, okay, so what do you want to hear? Do you want to hear what I responded to, or do you just want to hear that it's good? So if you just want me to tell you that it's good and I enjoyed it, then I was like, it's good. And then it saves me an hour or even 20 minutes of talking, because then that's what you needed. Then you're going to go back and do a rewrite. You just, right now, you just want a little support. It's like, I think you're heading in the right direction. Keep going. Mm-hmm. And then that's it. And then that's all the conversation needs to be. It doesn't need to be this deep dive into, you know, characters and all that other stuff. That's what you need right now. That's what you need. And that's okay. To say, this is what I need right now.
Mm-hmm. Craig, you know, I can imagine as people are listening to this and screenwriters are thinking about them getting into a community. You mentioned that you mentor individuals. How do people find you?
Oh, you can find me at redwallproductions.com. You can find me on Instagram at Redwall Pro, although there's just a lot of me on my balcony or my wife on my balcony paying tribute to the essential workers. You're just going to see a whole stream of videos of us on our balcony blowing the vuvuzela or playing the tambourine, because at 7 p.m. every day we say thank you to the essential workers who have got us through this pandemic in their own extraordinary way. On Facebook, you can find me. That'll be a lot of posts about my son because he doesn't have Facebook, so that's where I go to do that. On Twitter, Redwall Pro. So Redwall Pro is where you can find me across the board. And on Twitter, I am ranting against the current administration because that's that's what I do there. So I separate my nonsense. And then, you know, just reach out to me through our website, redwallproductions.com.
Craig, thank you so much for coming on. I am hopeful you will continue writing no matter how many drafts and let me read them so I can have moments of really being able to experience these beautiful characters that you write, and also, again, to make me laugh the way you do. Because truly, I cannot wait when people read your stories. They are so engrossing and also just filled with such a human warmth that I rarely see on the screen at times. So thanks for your work.
And thank you, Kat, for this time. I think it's really important for writers to have a resource like you. Someone who is able to, you know, because writing is therapy. Make no mistake about it. My stories are my own moments of therapy, me working out my stuff. But I gotta make sure that what I'm talking about isn't just a diary or, you know, this dump of, you know, my trauma or my hopes. It's got to be entertaining. And I think, you know, people coming to someone like you will help them separate. It's like, okay, this is stuff is good. You go work that out separately over here. And this is the stuff that can be in the script and that you need to work on moving it to a level of entertainment and not just, you know, working out your daddy issues. So.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about whether or not you are in the grand finals. I can't imagine. Yes. Otherwise, we will be having our fingers crossed and best wishes for you.
Great. Thank you, Kat.
Oh, thank you, Craig. Well, we'll see you next time on Best Psychology in Film. If you'd like to follow me, please do so at PsychMinded Media on Instagram. We'll see you next time.
Want to make your film psychologically rich? Visit our website at www.psychmindedmedia.com to collaborate. And find more on Instagram at PsychMindedMedia.